Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden, and I want to welcome you to episode 177 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? And start it off with great news. Well, great news for me anyway. University of North Carolina won the NCAA tournament. If you listen to me, you know I'm a big Carolina fan. Great game. Well, no, great win. Horrible game. The referees just made it ugly. But Carolina wins. Carolina's the champ. I love it. I'm happy. And let's see. It took the NCAA 10 minutes for their first ad selling national championship Carolina merchandise. Yeah. Jay Billis, who is a great basketball announcer and probably the only great thing to come out of Duke. Well, no, Dr. Ken came out of Duke, and I love Dr. Ken, but definitely the best thing to come out of Duke basketball, because Jay Billis is honest about how they take advantage of the players. So within 10 minutes of North Carolina winning the national championship, there's an ad from the NCAA selling national championship merchandise, and at the top of the ad is a picture of three players from North Carolina. Now, you may or may not know this, but there is a big lawsuit going on brought by a former UCLA player, Ed O'Bannon, about the NCAA using the images of college basketball players to make money. It's not legal. You can do it while they're in college, but once they're out of college, once their basketball career is over, you can no longer use their image for free. Well, it took the NCAA 10 minutes to violate that and to cash in. So congrats to North Carolina. You guys did a great job. I love that team. Love that coach. And congrats and kudos to Billis for calling out the hypocrisy of the NCAA. By the way, Johnny Manziel, a.k.a. Johnny Football, was there and also tweeted how this was wrong. And the reason it's funny for this guy to talk about it is because Johnny Manziel, if you remember, was suspended for one half of one game for signing autographs for money. Again, something that players are not supposed to do while they're in college. Johnny Football did it, but because he was Johnny Football in college, now we call him Johnny No Pro Football. But anyway, because it was Johnny Football, the comical suspension, the comical punishment from the NCAA was one half of the first game. That's your suspension, which was a joke because they didn't want to take him on because his family has money. And the NCAA, see, it's one thing for the NCAA to pick on poor people, you know, the quote inner city athlete or the farm boy athlete or something like that. Johnny Manziel came from a family with money and a family with lawyers. So they weren't going to challenge him about him making money off of his own name, also being done now by the Ball family. But not going to get into all of that. University of North Carolina won the championship. It was great. Now, unfortunately, time to go back to reality. Where should I start? I'll start, and there's a method to my madness on these stories I'm talking about this week. So, Betsy DeVos, we know Betsy DeVos. Betsy DeVos is the super rich woman who was given the job of education secretary, the woman who knows nothing about education, never taught, never worked in a school or anything, but she's running the show. And she says, well, school vouchers, you know, they're just like using Uber or Lyft. Now, let me explain school vouchers if you don't know what that means. That means that the government will give you a voucher worth X amount of dollars to put your kid into a private school if you don't want to put your kid in a public school. Sounds great, right? Except that that money comes out of the public school budget. So if you don't have enough money to send your kid to private school, well, the public schools are going to get a whole lot worse and blah, blah, blah. But she says, no, it's just like Uber or Lyft. You don't want to take a taxi. You want to ride share. You want to make your own decision. Well, it turns out that it is just like Uber or Lyft in that private schools are only for the upper class, and so are Uber and Lyft. The Pew Research Center said that in 2016, only 15% of Americans have used a rideshare service, whether it be Uber or Lyft. 51% have heard of them but not used them, and 33% hadn't even heard of them, doesn't even know about it or how it works. So that is her plan for schools. We'll have 15% of the population can go to school. And then 51%, they can hear about school and not go. And 33% just won't hear about school, nor will they go at all. This is an example of someone coming from privilege with no concept of what ordinary Americans go through, of what ordinary people deal with. You can't rape the public schools to send some kids to private school. But you know something? Yes, you can, because this is the Secretary of Education, and it's what you think. Now, let's not get into the fact that, you know, Uber throws out those rapes occasionally. I don't know how that works into the whole school system, but this is how horrible and out of touch this woman is. And then she says, well, if you choose to use a ride-sharing app, the government doesn't get involved. But actually they do, because the government has got involved in regulation in dealing with the taxi system in many cities. The big problem with Uber and Lyft, for those who don't know, is Uber and Lyft claim, hey, we're just communication services. We're not transportation services, which eliminates any liability for what their drivers do or accidents their drivers get into. Whereas if you have a taxi, you have to have it licensed and you have to have insurance and there is liability involved. So yeah, the government does get involved, and they have to sometimes protect the taxi industry from unfair practices. Now listen, I'll tell you personally, I think the taxi industry really screwed up on this one, okay? I use Lyft, and one of the reasons is because taxis provide such bad service. In so many cities, taxis, New York's a great example, taxi drivers got into the habit of ripping off patrons, it became comfortable, et cetera, et cetera. They did a bad job. And then Uber and Lyft came along and they claimed it was unfair to them. In some ways it is, but had you done a better job and had you not ripped off the customer, then the opening wouldn't have been there. Of course, Uber and Lyft not having any liability makes it a much cheaper place for them to run business. But the other point being, I'm not a school. We're not talking about school. We're talking about car services. That's a completely different thing, Ms. DeVos. Completely different. No, public school choice is not like Uber and Lyft. Okay, so that's the first thing I wanted to talk about. Now, I'm going to move on. Neil Gorsuch, the Supreme Court nominee, this whole thing is turning into a mess, okay? Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, is so full of shit that we've had orange people in the Senate. We've had orange people. We have an orange guy in the White House. I don't know how McConnell doesn't turn brown. This whole thing about, well, the Democrats are trying to hold up the process. Really? Really? You were the one who wouldn't even give a hearing to a Supreme Court nominee from Barack Obama, claiming it was his last year in office. Nothing in the Constitution about that, but you just decided that was the reason. Now, the Democrats are looking at using a filibuster, which is it's a delay tactic to prevent the vote for Gorsuch going to the Supreme Court, which means the Republicans have to look at the nuclear option, which, and I'm way oversimplifying this because I don't want to spend 20 minutes getting into explanations of the legal minutiae and how it works. But basically, the nuclear option is saying we're going to do away with the filibuster and we could confirm the Supreme Court nominee based on a simple majority. Now, the Democrats did this under the Obama administration, but they did it only applying to everything except Supreme Court justices and appointments. And now the Republicans could say, well, now we're going to apply it. So in other words, both sides are wrong on this. OK, it never should have been done. The filibuster rules, the rules of the Senate, and should never have been changed to begin with. So I'm not saying that the Democrats are right on this. They're both wrong on this. I'm going to say that McConnell needs to stop lying. And the scariest thing is when McConnell said, oh, we would never use the nuclear option, which to me means it's already in play and it's already about to happen. My problem is the nominee. This guy Gorsuch, this guy is a staunch conservative. Now, some people say he's not at the crazy end of conservatives, you know, that where Trump could have nominated. But this guy, he's one of these pro-corporation, pro-police, and then they say, well, he's a very religious man. He loves his Bible. I don't want that in the Supreme Court. Listen, if you believe in the Bible, if you're a Christian, that's fine. But understand, the Bible was based on societies from thousands of years ago. Things have changed since then. The rules have changed. And my big problem with these so-called Christians is they're switched from the Old Testament to the New Testament when it's convenient. Because if you're a Christian, you're supposed to be observing the New Testament, you know, where Jesus was, who was big on things like helping the poor and the needy and the sick and love and forgiveness, as opposed to the Old Testament, which was big on punishment and slavery and women knew their place. And there was a lot of smiting going on. You get smited, you get stoned, you get enslaved. The Old Testament was a bad neighborhood. You know what I'm saying? It was rough. And they'll go there when it's convenient. And then, but we're Christian. You're bullshit. I don't want the United States Supreme Court to be based on biblical law. You guys don't want it based on Sharia law? I don't want it based on biblical law. I want it based on law. We are a nation of laws. His religion scares me because it comes into his decisions. So what happens when you do have a Roe versus Wade, an abortion decision, and he considers that immoral? What happens when you do have a discrimination suit and he considers it immoral to be gay or to be any other than white Christian male? That's my problem with this guy. But changing the rules of the Senate to get him in there. And there's also the argument that, well, should we be voting on a nominee while Donald Trump is being investigated basically for treason? Basically, his administration, more and more it shows, they were in collaboration with the Russians during the election while the Russians were hacking everything. So does he get to put someone on the Supreme Court? Well, as of right now, that answer would be yes. So that is number two of what I want to talk about. And the last thing I want to talk about, and this is just where you get to, how big a piece of shit can you be? And apparently there is no upper limit to how big a piece of shit you can be, or no lower limit to how low you can go. Republicans are making it legal to hunt hibernating bears. Okay, let me say that again. Republicans are making it legal to hunt hibernating bears. The NRA-backed bill, imagine that, overturns an Obama-era regulation meant to protect biodiversity in Alaska's wildlife refuges. So basically, what this means is the Republicans in Congress have passed a bill to repeal a set of Alaska's wildlife regulations to favor sport and trophy hunters. They will allow for shooting of hibernating bears, bears with cubs, using airplanes to scout and shoot grizzly bears, and baiting and trapping bears with those steel jaw leg hold traps on federally owned land in Alaska. They're okay with this. And the argument from the Republican Alaskan congressman is that the fact that Barack Obama banned this stuff was just an example of him overusing the federal powers, and the states' rights, you know, should supersede the federal rights and blah, 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 blah. Okay. For one thing, no, they shouldn't. Okay, the way the Constitution's written, federal law supersedes state law. Now, what they're doing, and this is all bullshit, but what they're saying is that in order to protect the population of elk and deer, you have to control the population of predators, which are the bears. So they're going to allow these people to hunt the bears. Okay, maybe that's true. Maybe you allow them to hunt the bears. But hunting sleeping bears, shooting bears while the bears are hibernating, shooting bears from airplanes, is that really hunting? And, you know, I love the picture of Paul Ryan smiling while he signs a bill to allow shooting of sleeping bears. How big a piece of shit are you? Honestly, this is not anti-hunter. Okay, you are a piece of shit. If you're willing to go out and shoot a hibernating bear to say that you were hunting, please. If you're going to hunt, hunt. Okay, that means the animal is awake and walking around, and you go to, you know, you're blind and wait to shoot it, or you hunt it down or whatever. That's different. That's hunting. But to shoot a sleeping animal, to shoot an animal from an airplane as you fly over, this was like Sarah Palin with the slaughter of the wolves from the airplane. You are quite simply a piece of shit. So, given those three premises, those three stories or whatever, here is my question. This is the question I'd like to pose. In the long term, which of these Trump administration policies will do the most damage to our nation, to our way of life or whatever? Would it be having a Secretary of Education that knows nothing about education, who's going to gut the public schools and the public school system? Okay, definitely bad for the nation. They're anti-education. They're pro-stupidity, but that one's bad. Or a Supreme Court justice who's going to be all about corporations and removing rights from citizens, et cetera, et cetera. Or the destruction of the EPA and all, I don't know, nature preserves, natural preserves. In the long run, in 20, 30, 50 years, which of these is going to be worse? I don't know. You know, Gorsuch for the Supreme Court, he's only 49. If he's appointed for life, you figure just with average life expectancy, he'll be there for 30 years. He can do a lot of damage in 30 years. But to gut public schools, I mean, aren't we dumb enough? Aren't we dumb enough without taking more money away from public schools? Apparently not. That's going to be a generation. That's going to be, or destroying the parks and the you know, allowing corporations to, drill for oil in national parks or slaughtering these animals to the point of extinction because it's fun, because I want a fur rug. Man, I don't know. I don't know. An interesting article I read about America's cult of ignorance and the death of expertise. And it ties into this because this is a quote from Isaac Asimov. There is a cult of ignorance in the United States, and there always has been. The strain of anti-intellectualism, wow, it's kind of ironic that I would stumble on that word. Sorry about that. The strain of anti-intellectualism has been a constant thread winding its way through our political and cultural life, nurtured by the false notion that democracy means that my ignorance is just as good as your knowledge. And isn't that true? Isn't that true? How many of these crazy theories have we had that people give credit to? And now we live in a world of alternative facts and claiming that the mainstream media is false news and, you know, climate change or any science that they simply dismiss as not real. Looking at, quote, intelligent design, which is simply creationism, to be the same as Darwinism, which is science. So we're dealing with that. That is the thing that I love that. My ignorance is, in democracy, my ignorance is equal to your intelligence. Now, what he's saying, what they go on to say in this article, is talk about the fact that we do have experts. There are people who are experts in things. They spend their life studying things. There are scientists, engineers, doctors, lawyers, etc. And we dismiss them. We dismiss them as intellectuals. Those liberal intellectuals, the intellectual elite, et cetera, et cetera. People have spent their life studying something and you read an article on the internet. Well, my argument is just as justified as theirs. No, it's not. No, it's not. Okay. I talk a lot of shit. I'm a comic. It's my job. I talk shit, but I'm joking. Okay. This quote, I don't know where it came from. I heard it from Chris Rock, but it's been around longer than that. Never let the truth interfere with a joke. We make up shit when we're talking, but I'm not going to sit up here and honestly tell you that I know more about something than an engineering, that I know more about engineering than an engineer. Okay. I'm not going to tell you that I know more about education than someone who's an educator, a school principal, a school administrator, a teacher, etc. They would know more about it. It's what they do. And isn't it funny how we will accept that in some cases? And like, take football, okay? America loves football. So you could sit back and you could talk about this football player sucks or that football player sucks. But you know you can't get on the field and compete with him, okay? The worst basketball player in the NBA is better than anyone you know. And we're fine with that. We accept that. Why? Because that's his expertise. In any sport, we accept that your expertise is greater than ours. But if you're a scientist and you tell us that the climate is changing because you've been studying this all your life, we're like, nah, what do you know? You with your intellectual science. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And again, leads to maybe we're just getting what we deserve. Okay, speaking of getting what we deserve, I'm just throwing this out there because I don't know where to categorize it. Barry Manilow is gay. Apparently, he didn't know because we all did. But Barry Manilow's come out of the closet, and God bless him. I don't even care. Just figured I had to say it because it was brought up to me, and someone said you should mention that in your podcast. But now this is a beautiful thing. When you talk about chickens coming home to roost or whatever, this is beautiful. Nigerian scammers are now pretending to be Rachel Dolezal. I tried to keep a straight face, but yeah. So you know the Nigerian scam, right? That you know, I got a bunch of money, whether I won it or I inherited it or whatever, but I can't collect the money, so I need you to send me money so I can collect the money. Well, this is so great. There's an email message floating around from one Mrs. Rachel H. Dolezal, who described herself as 59-year-old U.S. citizen from Jacksonville, Florida. And here's the start of the scam. I am thinking of relocating since I am right now. I took part in the Nigerian National Petroleum Corporation Compensation Award Program in Africa, and they refused to pay me. I have spent over $26,000 trying to get my payment to no avail. So here's what you do. If you send the small sum of $585 to Barrister George Alex, then somehow Rachel will get to go to Nigeria, collect the $18 million, and you too can collect a reward. It's the old Nigerian scam, but how beautiful is it that they use Rachel Dolezal? Now, here's the sad thing. She's going to use this as more proof that she's black. Yeah, you know Rachel Dolezal. You remember Rachel Dolezal, a white woman who claimed to be black up in Spokane, Washington. Now she claims to be something called trans black. You know, as in transgender, she's trans black. So how great is it that the Nigerians are using her as part of the scam? Good on you, Nigerian scammers. Thanks for ending my podcast on an up note. Hey, everybody, I'm about to go back to work. Yeah, I'm about to get off my ass, get back on the road where I belong. So next weekend, April 13th through 15th, I am going to be at Levity Live in Nyack, New York. I haven't been to the club before, but I hear it's absolutely fantastic. I'm looking forward to it. This weekend, you can catch me on NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and catch me quick on NPR because that's one of the things that's planned to be defunded in the new Trump budget. But that's it. That's all I got. Think about that question, though. Maybe tweet me a response at Alonzo Bowden or something. What will have the worst long-range effects on the country? The Betsy DeVos destroying the school system, Gorsuch, the Supreme Court justice, or this gutting of any federal regulations involving conservation, nature, or the EPA. What a sad choice we have. We lose on all three. I love you guys. Thanks for listening. Who's paying attention? You are. And I think I'm going to start my own Twitter page for this podcast. I need to. Should have done it, 2 years ago when I started doing the podcast. Thank you guys.